Morning. Mr. Madeline?
Yes, Your Honor. Representing the appellant, Mr. George.
You may proceed.
I'd like to reserve 2 minutes, please. Mr. George is requesting that the order of the court denying his motion for reconsideration or new trial be overturned, that he be allowed to have a new trial on this matter. Specifically, the issues that concern him regarding the motion for reconsideration, or that he was not allowed to use certain evidence regarding change in circumstances for any purpose. Now, this was the result of a sanction for violating a discovery rule. We would argue that the sanction imposed was overbroad. Primarily, the discovery that was missing at the time had to do with income, and perhaps a more narrowly tailored sanction regarding the issue of child support only would have been appropriate, but the court did not wish to hear any evidence concerning changes that had occurred since the original order was put in place. The original order was an order out of Colorado, which was registered in Nebraska. At the time that the original order was entered, both parties were living in Colorado. The mother of the children, Ms. White, moved to Nebraska. Sometime thereafter, Mr. George moved to Nebraska. So both at that time, both parties had moved out of the original state of Colorado to Nebraska. And at the time of these hearings, were living 2 blocks apart. Mr. George had requested a modification of the order to reflect change in custody. He was hoping for joint custody, visitation, and child support. The other issue had to do with the court finding that there was no material change in circumstances to warrant a change in custody or visitation. And evidence presented again was that both parties had moved to Nebraska finally and were living within a couple blocks, that the children had asked for more time. And the court found that none of this was material and declined to change the order in any fashion.
Taking you back just on the procedural issue for a minute, I'm looking at the motion for reconsideration or for new trial, and I don't see anything in there complaining about the discovery order. So if it wasn't raised on the motion for reconsideration or new trial, and your assignment of error is solely that the court erred in not granting this motion, is the issue of that discovery order before us?
I would argue that it can be on the basis of plain error. This also, the appeal in this matter was filed pro se by Mr. George, and I became involved sometime later on. And as part of our appeal, we'd also asked the court to take a look at the finding of contempt against Mr. George, for which he ended up serving time.
Which also is not listed in the motion for.
Yes, but again, on the issue of plain error, I believe that was inappropriate. And the two are kind of tied together in regard to the issue of income. The problem with the evidence regarding income, which has caused the problems both on the order regarding change in circumstances and on the contempt part of it, is that at the time, the appellant was working for a foreign corporation. The corporation is based out of Russia. The appellant was able to provide pay stubs, but no other proof of employment, confirmation of employment through the employer. As a matter of fact, on the contempt part of it, the intervener state of Nebraska's agent had attempted to contact Mr. George's employer and was not able to do so. And they were not honoring requests for withholding. They were not providing further information. And that was laid at Mr. George's door because his employer would not cooperate with the state of Nebraska. And that was also the basis for, I believe, the finding of contempt in this matter. So they're all kind of tied in together, is the way I'm seeing, and I hope the court will see it. Now, regarding the issue of plain error, essentially, on the contempt part of it, Mr. George was found to be in contempt because his employer would not provide information to the state, was not withholding income per the court's order. And again, that was laid at Mr. George's door, and I would equate that with kind of same situation where an employer is actually withholding money from a paycheck but refuses to send it to the state. And in that, although the debtor might still owe the money at the end of it, he should not be found in contempt and jailed because of the actions of his employer. And this kind of ties in with what had occurred with Mr. George on this. The other issue regarding this also had to do with his ability to pay. And, you know, there had been a change in circumstances, although he was not allowed to talk about that. Regarding the contempt part of it, a pay stub and testimony was offered regarding his circumstances. And essentially, this gentleman was making $12.50 an hour, working 40 hours a week, and there was an order from the state of Colorado taking $951 of that, which left him with less than $100 to pay his child support on. And despite that, he was making $100 a month payments on a regular basis to the court, showing not only good faith, but an interest in his children. For these reasons, I believe that was inappropriate, and that goes again back to the court's sanctioning of Mr. George.
So let me just interrupt you there. So in this case where you have an employer who's located outside the country, what would have been the proper sanction for the court to engage in this situation?
I don't think any sanction against the appellant would have been appropriate under these circumstances if that is the main problem. He had provided pay stubs. The issue with the appellee was that the pay stubs were insufficient. They wanted more information coming directly from the employer, and that was not possible for the appellant to secure.
Had the employer issued W-2s on an annual basis to the appellant?
I'm quite honestly, I'm not sure regarding that.
What about tax returns? Were there no tax returns?
There were tax returns. Mr. George and his wife had been filing married jointly for the last few years. That is also part of the record. Excuse me. So basically, the main problem was the actions of someone who was really not a party to any of this, and that was Mr. George's employer. Unfortunately, that left Mr. George bearing the brunt of the court's displeasure regarding this, and his rights were suffered accordingly. And I think this whole process wound up with an unjust result. Do I still have time on this before?
You have 2 minutes left.
That's your two-minute
warning.
Okay. Am I into my rebuttal time?
Yes.
Okay, then I will stop it.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Zimmerman.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm here on behalf of the, basically, the state of Nebraska, Wyoming, Cheyenne County, because I was appointed as a special prosecutor. I came into this case after the trial and after the appeal had been filed. It's my opinion that his attempt to argue the rulings on the motion to compel and sanctions has not been preserved. If you look at the motion for reconsideration or new trial, there is nothing in that sets out any of the statutory grounds for a motion for new trial. It doesn't refer to the order granting the motion for sanctions. And in fact, when the appellant ordered the transcript, it didn't even include the October 20th order, which was the order where the judge ruled on the motion for sanctions. The Bill of Exceptions in this case contains nothing in regards to the hearing on the motion for sanctions. So, When you look at the motion, a motion for reconsideration, if it's filed timely, is to be considered as a motion to alter or amend. And if you're considering an motion to alter or amend, then you do it on the basis of whether there was an abuse of discretion by the court. In this particular case, as the motion indicates, as the order of October 20th, which I asked for to be put a part of the record, basically the judge said, you were served properly with the request for production and interrogatories. You didn't answer those. We had a hearing. I sustained their motion to compel. I didn't enter any sanctions. I gave you an opportunity to answer those. You assured the court that you were. We come back here. Now we're a few weeks before trial. You still haven't done it. And so I'm going to enter certain sanctions. And the sanctions that the court entered were that he could not offer certain evidence at the time of the hearing. The motion to reconsider talks about the fact that, well, the Colorado court couldn't contemplate or didn't know that they were going to be living a couple blocks apart. The Colorado court didn't know that they were going to have another child. The Colorado court didn't know this. Well, what happened was is that he was ordered to pay $804 a month in the Colorado court, and he didn't pay it. There was evidence offered to show that he was over $60,000 in arrearage on that. It also showed that based upon Nebraska, after the Colorado order was then brought to Nebraska, that he was behind there. As to the evidence pertaining to his wanting to change custody or change visitation, all of that, that all goes up under abuse of discretion. And there's nothing argued in the brief to indicate that anything that the judge did met any of the potential requirements to show that there was abuse of discretion.
Mr. Zimmerman, if we were to agree with you that the motion to compel and the sanctions are not properly before us, we're still left with the question of whether the record, the testimony and the evidence at trial indicates there was a material change in circumstances. My understanding is at the time the Colorado order was entered, the wife was in school, so no income was imputed to her per Colorado statutes, which don't allow for that. At the time of the modification hearing, however, I believe she testified that she was working 40 hours a week at $14.93 per hour. Does that not in and of itself constitute a material change for purposes of child support?
You mean you're talking about the ex-wife?
Correct. I'm talking about
Mrs. White.
Mrs. White.
Okay.
Right. She had zero at the time of the Colorado order. She has $14.93 per hour at 40 hours a week at the time of the modification hearing.
Well, here you have a judge that says, I'm not going to allow you because of the fact that you haven't supplied us with the appropriate information to allow us to determine actually what your income is, to offer any of that evidence.
Well, the judge said, you can't provide any documentary evidence, and you can't provide any evidence of changes in your, Mr. George's, income. Nothing about Ms. White's income. And she did testify that she was employed on a full-time basis. So as I read the discovery order or the sanction order, that testimony is not precluded, and it did actually come in at trial.
Well, they did attempt to offer some information as to his income.
Well, I'm just income.
But you still have, in order to do a child support calculation, you've got to have accurate information as to what the income is for both parties.
And the court was saying, we're not going to let you change anything about your income, Mr. George.
Correct.
But it didn't say, we're not going to let you adduce testimony as to Ms. White's income. And if she goes from zero to full-time employment, does that not constitute a material change for modification of support payments?
Not necessarily, no. Because you don't know whether it's going to amount to until you actually do the calculation and determine whether or not the child support is going to change either by the statutory requirements, you don't know. And I think under the circumstances here, because of the fact that there just wasn't sufficient evidence before the court to make that kind of a decision.
And who?
And that was the fault of Mr. George.
Well, once he adduces testimony that she's employed on a full-time basis, whose burden is it to show the deductions and all of that as to what her actual income is?
Whose burden is it to show what her income is? I think if he's asking for the relief, it's his burden.
But once he adduces the 40 hours a week times the 1493, would the court not go on that if she isn't going to adduce some evidence as to deductions and such from that?
I think at that point, it's still incomplete. There isn't the sufficient information for the judge to go back and make an actual determination as to what's going to happen here.
Couldn't the judge have used the most recent information that he had put forward in a prior proceeding to just say, we're just going to say, your information has not changed, we now know what her information is, and then just do a child support guideline with that information?
Probably could have.
Sir, to your knowledge, was there a reason that that was not done in this case?
To my knowledge, I don't know, because I wasn't at the hearing. I didn't participate in the hearing, and all I got was a cold record to read in order to prepare the brief.
Counsel, maybe to put a fine point on it, what I hear you saying to Judge Reedman is that when you have the child support worksheet, you need two sets of numbers.
Correct.
And while we may know the current numbers on the wife, as Judge Reedman stated them, we don't know the information about the husband.
Correct.
That and you're saying you need that information to run the calculation.
Correct. Otherwise, you're just speculating on what it may or may not be. And so you don't have the information. The burden is on him to be able to come into court and say, this is what I'm making.
But because
these are my deductions, these are everything, and therefore, when you consider her income, which they had very limited, all they had was the hours that she worked and that sort of stuff, and that there just isn't sufficient information there for the judge to run an accurate calculation. It would be based upon pure speculation because of the fact that this individual had already had the motion to compel sustained and the sanctions entered, which precluded him from doing a lot of things that would, of course, made the hearing a lot better.
And it was because of those orders that the court said, your income is what your income is. We're not going to let you introduce any evidence contrary to that.
Correct. We're not going to let you put anything new in.
So, back to Judge Pirtle's, the court could have said, because the court said, you're stuck with what we have, we're not going to let you change it. Once they show that the wife has gone from zero income to a substantial income, under the spirit of the child support guidelines of each parent contributing to raising their children?
I've done a lot of child support calculations, and under circumstances like that, I've seen the actual child support go up because the combined income of the parties is now greater. And so the child support can actually raise as opposed to go down.
But for the court to say there was not a material change in circumstances, could we not say based on that it was an abuse of discretion?
I don't think under the circumstances in this particular case that was an abuse of discretion, and I do not think that was even an issue raised in the motion to reconsider. It certainly wasn't raised by motion for new trial. Although his brief argues a lot of that, it was never preserved from a procedural standpoint.
What's the it you're saying you're talking about?
What?
What's the it you're talking about? What issue was not preserved?
The issue about the income and the effect. All he really argues in his brief is that the court erred when it sustained the motion to compel and entered the sanctions. That's principally what he's talking about. His motion for reconsideration doesn't discuss anything other than the fact that they moved from Colorado to Nebraska, lived a few blocks apart,
right,
and that sort of stuff. And there is not a single element of the statutory language from the motion for new trial in that. So it becomes a motion to alter or amend, and then you're looking at an abuse of discretion on those issues that he kind of raised in there. And so when you come to his brief is talking about something completely different than what the motion was talking about.
All right.
And I just don't think it's preserved on appeal.
Yeah, thanks. Anything else? Okay, thank you. How far did we take him over? Okay, you can add that to your 2 minutes if you'd like it.
I'll leave.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both for being here. The case is submitted. You're both excused.